AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy, the number one fuck boy, the number one fuck boy. Joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Give us a shout out. That light sniffing you hear is him. Curious about first-time guest Adam being joined by several-time guest Betsy Amano. The three of you guys are the hosts of the Horny for Horror podcast.
Yeah.
My energy level has shifted wildly since then.
I love it.
Betsy Amano and Adam, welcome to High and Mighty, motherfuckers.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yes.
We love Disturbed.
Alien Ant Farm.
Alien Ant Farm.
We're going to be talking mostly about Disturbed and Alien Ant Farm. Amy, are you okay? Are you okay?
I saw an Alien Ant Farm at a Warped Tour one year, and everyone was booing him. And at one point, the lead singer is like, "We're not that bad." And they played Smooth Criminal, and everyone cheered. And then they're like, "Great, now that we're friends, we're going to play another original." And everyone threw hot dogs at him. I don't know why everyone had hot dogs, but they got pelted.
Now, I have no desire to be there because I don't care about Alien Ant Farm, but you sold me on the hot dog. That'll bring me to this next Warped Tour.
You love it. They're delicious.
A bunch of poor punks would rather throw their hot dogs than eat them.
I don't think poor punks are going to Warped Tour. I think it's all like the
rich
high
punks?
School. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hot topic
mall
punks.
Punks. Yeah.
Mall punks.
Mall punks.
We're here today to talk about fucking mall punks.
Yeah. It's time to get out of the way when I'm trying to get straight from Gene Country to the arcade. I don't want you guys fucking blading in my way, dude.
Gene Country.
Get out of the way, dude. I'm trying to play blacklit mini golf.
Come on, dude. So, guys, you guys know how this goes. I'm going to read some 5-star reviews in my podcast.
Yes.
Shitheads, listeners, this is, you know, if you're listening for the first time, you can rate me 5 stars on iTunes and then roast me in the comments and I will read it. So here we go.
Yeah.
Here, Cryo Rage says, "Great way to get off" is the title.
Ooh.
Well,
the only reason I listen to this terrible podcast is that for some baffling reason, the frequency of John Walrus's grating voice stimulates my prostate.
Oh, shit.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Ooh, that's kind of fun.
That's speaking not a dick. I mean, speaking my language.
you do a lot
you
of those.
You don't have to be gay to, like, your prostate tickle.
No. You're human.
You don't have to be gay to over loofah.
You're like the polar opposite of the, like, what is it, like the whisper porn?
Yeah, ASMR.
You scream on the other side of it, and it works
it just
for
makes
people.
Your
yes, the other end of the spectrum,
nuts.
People yeah. are like, people are just climaxing. The male G spot is real. And I'm like, fuck boy.
Your proctologist is shocked at how silky smooth your rectum is.
Jesus Christ, man. What do you got going on here?
Loofah, dude.
Loofah, bro. I'm up in there with a full exfoliating glove.
I have my own. My own glove for my prostate.
My own prostate glove. It's glittery and like Michael Jackson. All right, this one.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. Your
doing
lung.
Great.
The number one cough boy.
This is called Verbal Dexterity of Schwarzenegger Meets Humility of Seagal by D. Dives. I'm a huge fan of John Gemberling, so of course I love hearing his first homemade podcast. I've never seen a picture of him, but I'm guessing clean cut, no tats, and definitely leaning towards vegan. If you believe humans can only survive by clinging tightly to ancient texts unspoiled by modern scientific method, blindness towards race and culture, and disdain for individualism, then this is the podcast for you.
That sounded like the Unabomber's manifesto.
I'm stressed a little bit about some of these reviews where people like, and I know they're joking, but they call me like alt-right hero and shit like that.
Oh,
and I'm like,
dear
God. I know you're, but I just don't want to attract the wrong listener. So if you are a white nationalist and listening, do me a favor. You should purchase a gun, I understand, you know, like you need
and
to defend yourself.
Yeah,
and then bite down on the barrel and pull the trigger and blow your stupid fucking haircut having head off, okay? I don't need you. I don't need listeners that bad. Unless you promise you're going to purchase Mac Weldon promo code Mighty. Yeah. Then welcome in, Richard Spencer. You know, 14 words.
I do want to let listeners know he kept winking at us while you're saying all that.
You are just...
I'm kidding. I love it.
You're just blind to race.
I'm blind to race.
Which could be a positive thing.
Which you guys all know about me.
Yeah.
I'm blind to how people react to the way I talk about race. It's technically my hyper-specific blindness.
If anyone needs a podcast called Blind to Race, it's you.
I would also label you as indifferent to sensitivity.
Yes.
Very good.
I pitched to Earwolf to have the podcast called John Gabris' Diversity Showcase, where I interview diverse comics and just talk about diversity.
I love
but
that.
But as a straight white man, they were like, yes. I don't know.
That's very funny.
I call it John Gabris' Diversity Workshop.
I kind of love it.
I think that's what 2017 needs.
Yeah. You know what? Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm on.
Got
I need a
few
fifth,
months left.
A fifth Gabris podcast is exactly what America needs. I Pray for Him by Alex Rizkowski.
Woo.
Host Ron Daydress keeps listeners on the edge of their seat with what amounts to the pedantic musings of a 10-year-old child, apparently and horrifyingly raised on a steady diet of paint chips and the soft, steady glow of a 20-inch wood-paneled CRTV with built-in VCR player. 5 stars.
Wow.
God, I'm exhausted from reading that.
That was good. Yeah. A lot of good big words in
that
there.
That sounded like someone at Radio Shack explaining you what you're getting. Too much specificity.
Okay, can I play bass out of this, bro?
Yep. Okay, great. That's all I want.
Then see you later, Radio Shack. Peace out, Nick Cannon, creative director of Radio Shack. All right, one last one, and then let's fucking get into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Wait, hold on. This one's long, and it's called "Is This Too Mean?" ? So, and as always, zero prep. So let's see what it says.
I like it.
Swim Girl 2003. Is this too mean? It always surprises me just how unfazed John is when one of these roasts mention his untapped potential, even going so far to take it as a compliment. It's pretty narcissistic for him not to realize that we aren't saying you're smart. We're saying that you're letting down the people that love and depend on you. I'm not a religious person, but I think that your hell will be the moment of heart disease deathbed reflection where you realize that your independently successful young widow will move on surprisingly quick when she finds someone who will actually commit themselves to going out of their way for others, even if they aren't as talented as her former husband who chose each day to eat himself to death. I think that your dad's main criticism of you is that, yeah, you were smart, but you weren't concerned with fulfilling what he saw as a man's duty to provide. In the end, you managed to prove him right, becoming the charming loser he always knew you'd be. Sure, there's still time to turn around, to stop making the choice each day to let time wash over you unutilized as you race towards a hereditary early grave. I'm not optimistic, but I'm the kind of guy that slows down to see a car wreck on the freeway, so I'll keep turning into this tragedy every week. Love the show. 5 stars.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. That's Mono's crying.
My mouth is agape. Yeah, that was pretty mean.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah, right?
That legitimately hurt.
That hurt me.
That would make your beautiful wife cry.
Do you, the heaviest part of it to me is that it starts with, is this too mean? Which is like, okay, I know this is very like brutal. Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah, untapped potential is funny because I do take it as a compliment. I'm like, I told you I'm capable of a lot of stuff. I'm just not trying that hard.
Well, you don't want to peak.
Yeah, no.
Because then it's downhill.
Yeah, right. No, I'm still waiting for my peak.
Yeah, it's fun running uphill.
Should be coming soon. Yeah, the uphill is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Bart. I still think Ron Day dress was the meanest.
Yeah, that hurt
because
they know a little too much
funny
about my personal life. I go by Ron now. Guys, I wanted to come on. I want you guys to come on, squeeze this out in time for Halloween.
Yeah.
So we can talk spooky activities, movies, well, whatever, horny for horror. Like, I love the podcast. I've done it. It's so fun. We talked a lot about hyper specific moments in in scary movies. But I think my listeners can use some recommendations from some horror aficionados. I'm going to go as far to call everyone experts because that feels like a dick thing to say.
Yeah.
But you guys watch an insane amount of horror movies.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to watch.
Besides something involving drag queens.
Besides, RuPaul's
and
Drag
Race. And if you can find both, heaven on earth.
Yes.
Hey, I think you guys are brewing up your next script.
We're on
script
to something.
Yeah. There you go.
Horny for Horror should produce their first drag queen based horror film.
That would be pretty genius.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, let's do it.
Drag her to hell and back. Hunty.
That could be good. Yeah, like Blood Hunty. Maybe that's it.
Blood Hunty.
That could be it.
Yeah, drag her.
We have spent hours watching trash and almost on purpose watching trash.
Yeah, you guys actually seek out. You two, I know Adam too also, but you two specifically, Betsy and Mono, seek out garbage movies.
We love them. We just watched a new Lifetime movie.
Oh,
and don't worry,
watch.
It's spooky. It's called Drink, Slay, Love.
Yes.
And it's based off of a young adult
mm-hmm.
novel about a teen vampire. And it was awesome.
Eat,
and
slay,
awful.
Love is like eat, slay, love.
Drink. Slay, love. Because drink that blood.
Oh, and then it's a pun on eat, pray, love.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though it was total trash, it was absolutely the most coherent Lifetime movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, it like followed a story.
Yeah,
I got a callback to be like a lead in a Lifetime movie one time, and like I did the audition and I went pretty well, and the casting director is like, do you know what like this movie is? Like,
oh,
do you
no.
know what this is? Do you like, have you read the whole script? Do you know what like Lifetime movies are? I was like, yeah, I know it. This is weird. And I'm like, it's not a comedy, but I would be down to try to do it. It would be fun. And she was like, okay. But I was like, she clearly was like, this fucking guy has no idea what's going on. Yeah.
She was trying to help you out.
Yeah. She was like, I was like, dude, if you told me this paid $100 a day, I would beg you for it. So just chill.
I'll bring my own water.
Yeah.
Let me.
I got a filter on my faucet. I could fill up a big jug and bring it with me every day.
I'll do my own crafty.
I got a fucking cargo pockets full of granola bars.
You gotta take a daily deposit out of that crafty table.
All the time.
Do you remember what it was called? There's no way it had the same title.
Was not that one. It was, I forget what the title was.
Do you remember what the story was?
Yes, I mean, it may have been called Only in Dreams or What Dreams, something like that.
Ah.
And a guy and a girl were having dreams about each other, and then they run into each other in real life.
Ooh.
They're both like each other's dream person.
That sounds like a perfect movie.
And I was the fucking lead like construction worker guy who's like, I had the dream again.
Yes.
And I was like,
man,
I can't believe I got a callback for this. Maybe I'll actually book it.
Yeah.
Oops.
And then she kept
untapped
telling you.
Untapped Potential, Swim Girl 2003 was correct. What's the best spooky movie you guys have seen recently? Is there anything like that's kind of new? I'm watching the new American Horror Story, Cult, and I'm like four or five episodes in, and I love it.
You do? I didn't love it.
I haven't watched any other American Horror Stories. We watched season one.
Oh, there you go.
Season two turned us off, and then I really like this Cult season. It's fucking creepy.
I don't know. I don't love something about it. Yeah. Maybe I've seen too many American Horror Stories. We've seen like every single season, and I feel like I know the formula too well now, and also I don't love the gore. Not a gore guy. And there's a lot of blood and
You're
shit.
Not a gore guy.
Not a gore guy.
You're not a gore person either.
I'm not.
McCabe, gore?
You don't
You
need
voted
it.
For him?
Yeah, I voted for him. I love him. I campaigned for him actively. I still am. Inconvenient sequel in theaters now.
Squeakquel, I think.
Yeah. We recorded this in June.
Gore is interesting because in something like The Thing, you need it because it's an alien ripping apart. Like it makes sense for the story. For gore to work, it has to be part of the story.
Right.
In Saw, mm-hmm. I don't need to see what the trap does. The after effect of it. Let us, our minds assume what it would look like. Yeah. I like seeing what the trap is versus what it does.
Yeah, I agree. Because one of my other favorites, if we're ready, is The
Fucking
Orphanage.
Do it, Mono.
Do it, Mono.
It's Ooh. El Orfanato.
So El Orfanato.
It's immediately creepier because everything's in Spanish.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and you have to read.
Spanish people are the creepiest type of people.
Yeah. And they're from Spain.
Oh, the worst.
So they're saying boo in Castilian.
Ooh.
It's hard to track.
And there's an awesome scene where. Basically, someone gets destroyed by a car. That's all I'll say. And it is gory and disgusting, but it works.
Yeah.
Foreign horror movies hit extra hard.
Yeah.
Because you can't really tell what's happening. You know what I mean? You can tell in an English language movie, you're immediately like, this is the person who's going to arrest. This person's the killer. But when there's a foreign language, you're just slightly off.
And you're just
I think High Anxiety was a French horror movie me and Tiff saw.
Yeah.
And
it was High Tension?
High Tension.
You're thinking of Mel Brooks'
parody of
Where
Vertigo.
All those birds just shit on him.
Yeah. The Hitchcock. High Tension.
High Tension, yeah.
Which is great.
Which is really fucking good, but there's just that layer of reading it and you're not getting to you get to the end of the sentence and you're like, ooh, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
I would argue
awesome.
That you don't even need the dialogue for that movie.
Yeah, no.
I think I watched it in French with the subtitles off and it still is terrifying.
That's the thing about horror, and I think that's why horror and even... more slapsticky comedy to a lesser degree translates so well globally and big budget action, obviously, because you don't even need to know what's saying. You could watch that Matt Damon movie, The Great Wall, without any dialogue and be like, it's 8% worse.
And you would know everything that's going on. Yeah.
Different cultures' baseline for what's fucked up or not. Japanese horror is awful.
Japanese on the spectrums when now this is me just being a classic hip firing casual stereotype.
Sure.
But if you go just by Japanese horror movies and Japanese pornography, you have a weird viewpoint of Japanese culture.
Right.
100%.
If you just go by their porno and their horror movies, you guys are weird.
But I feel probably the same
about America.
About anybody, looking at the porn, just being like, whoa, 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 whoa. All right.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and call out my Japanese boyfriend. He's a freak. And
I can't speak for that many, but a small sample. My boyfriend is a freak.
He's a freak. He grew up in Tokyo around all the tentacle porn you can imagine. He just has a different bar for what's weird.
That's so fun. Is he like scary movies too?
Yeah. And he loves gore. He's like, I want to see fucked up shit.
Oh, yeah. What's that movie where, is it Audition?
Audition.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
She eats the puke out of the bowl. Degrading, upsetting shit.
That was tough. Yeah. Very hard to watch. We did it a few years ago. And
we did
because
we
just
wanted to know.
Yeah. Because everybody was like, audition. And then it was like,
What are some gore? Like you said, The Thing is gory, but the thing that makes the thing that makes things so awesome is it is the gore is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Pun intended. It's like all practical, so it looks a little silly, but in just the perfect way where it's like... It's so like masterful that you knock it down from absolutely disgusting in your mind because you're like, this is pretty fucking cool.
Looking. Yes. Yeah. It's more cool and just fascinating that they made it. Like, I feel Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah. They do that well, too. Yeah.
I mean, you know, so when you cut off a head, it's just purple blood sprayed. Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
Or The Gate. Has like
I love the gate so much.
House has that big like zombie Vietnam guy that is
I never saw this one.
You haven't seen House
with George Wendt.
George
Wendt
is the neighbor. I forget the lead dude's name, but then like Bull from Night Court is like the bad guy.
Oh, that's
one
awesome.
Of them.
It's a
fun.
Really fun. Like there's like tools that float around and try to kill you. It's great.
Yeah,
I highly recommend it. House 2, though, I just watched recently is goofy.
Yeah,
like it's silly.
I horror movie sequels are always like a little bit of a letdown. I feel like my problem with a lot of modern horror movies is the third act anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm always like, this never ends the way. And they're always trying to like out interesting ending one another. Mm-hmm. Like Babadook, I thought had like a solid ending, but like they never build to like the right amount of fear. Like you get like the scares don't heighten correctly for me for a lot of modern horror.
Because
like you kind of get used to it or you figure it out or you get ahead of it a little.
Right, and Babadook, honestly, like the early scares are some of the best.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you asked me like recent horror that I like. This kind of touches on this point is I think most modern horror movies are too long, and I think that's a problem is that they try to extend it so much so it's all filler. So I've been watching a lot of horror shorts. That's my new game is like going online and trying to find a good new horror short.
Oh, that's awesome. Because it gets you everything you want out of it in 8 minutes.
Yes.
10 to 15 minutes. Yeah. You don't need an explanation. I just watched one before I came here that was 14 minutes long and it was great.
Oh, yeah.
It's like it's
baby
that
shoes
quick.
Never worn for sale.
Ew.
There you go.
That is
one sentence horror stories. I love those.
Yeah.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah.
There's the original Lights Out short.
Yeah.
That's online is like 2 minutes, maybe two and a half.
It's horrifying.
They made a whole movie called Lights Out.
Oh, right.
But
before
that, there was just a short, and it is better.
It's like how Mama was made because Guillermo del Toro saw the short
for
Mama.
You're
very welcome. I'm a Spanish ghost. He saw like a 2 minute short where it's just the mom running with her arms out, and that was it. And he got financing for it, and they made the whole movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Mama.
Mama.
It's pretty fun.
It's fun.
Pretty fun.
The
The
feature film you haven't seen?
No.
Okay. It's very fun, but Jessica Chastain plays the wildest character maybe ever in a horror movie.
She's playing like a rocker,
quote
unquote.
Like,
she's in a band where she
Jessica
plays
Chastain?
Bass.
Jessica Chastain?
Yes.
And there's a part
that's
where
hysterical
cast. Jamie Lannister is the male lead, and he like calls. He's trying to get a hold of her at one point, and he calls her phone and goes straight to voicemail. And it's like, I'm not answering the phone. Fuck you. Whatever. Beep.
Like, and when we saw it, everybody roared with laughter.
Oh, that's
it was
awesome.
One of the funny. It's so weird.
It cancels out her whole career. Like
for me, I don't trust anything she's in.
She's
now.
Bad.
Oh shit! Yeah. She's great in everything.
Right?
Yeah,
but
I really like her.
Watch Mama.
Watch
and
Mama.
I will.
It's kind of like I'm trying.
Christmas.
Kristen Bell, kind of like watching her play like a bad, like a I'm a bad girl, and it's like no, you're not.
No, you aren't.
You're sweet. Just. Yeah. Be a sweet girl.
Sorry, Sarah Marshall, but get back out there. You ain't so bad.
Yeah, I really hope things pick up for her.
For Sarah Marshall?
For her,
For the character.
Sarah Marshall.
She hasn't done much.
Yeah.
Since I moved
Sarah Marshall.
It seems like we've forgotten her.
Oh, no shit.
A sniper just takes me out through the window.
He peeked.
You know we love stupid scaries too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
they're
shit,
the best.
Shit, piece of shit, shit, shit scaries.
Shit.
What's
scaries.
The one we watch a bunch of in your house? Chopping Mall.
Chopping Mall. 1 hour and 16 minutes long.
Perfect.
Perfect.
And even then there are parts where it feels
and still
long.
Stretched out for really long. There's a lot of crazy shit in that movie.
Yeah.
It's not scary at all.
Not at all.
Almost exclusively stupid.
Pure fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pure dumb.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, I've been like more scared by like an FX drama.
Oh, big time. Big time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Louis, you know, it's kind of like so real. I laugh, but I'm scared.
One we probably have talked about, but not enough, is Birdemic. Have you ever seen Birdemic?
Yes, yes, yes. I've seen like clips of it in the vein of like someone's like, it's like the all the like superimposed birds and they're like,
Yeah, it has a great story of how those special effects came to be when they like they edited the film and then sent it to the special effects guy.
But and I want weren't they like just students?
Oh yeah, it was like a college student.
Like it was a college student just learning how to do special
like
effects.
Like After Effects.
That's so funny.
Great. It's just trying so hard to pay homage to Alfred Hitchcock, but just like shitting on his grave.
So yeah. I haven't seen it. Is it done sincerely?
Yes. The first one is.
Okay. That's my breaking point for a dumb horror movie is like, it can't be like with Sharknado or something where it's like intentionally trying to be bad. I want you to pour your heart and soul into it. And if the effects look shitty, cool. I'll watch.
Yeah. That's how I feel about bad action movies. I hate when they're so aware. Like, for me, a bad movie has to have tried to be good.
Right.
For me to enjoy it. When it's like, I'll love like something that's like cliche and maybe it's like on purpose, a little like cheesy or whatever. Yeah. I'm fine with that. But if you're like bad and like winky bad, I won't have it.
You know what? I love Showdown in Little Tokyo. Is that sweet spot for me?
Yes.
Where it's like their friendship is so funny and cheesy.
Yeah.
But
Brandon Lee and Dolph Lundgren. Yeah.
There's
that's the one where they compare duck dick sizes.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he's like, you got a big old dick, don't you, bro?
And he doesn't let it go. Like the whole movie, Brandon Lee keeps talking about how big his dick is.
What?
I got to watch this movie.
It's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. But yeah, it is bad, but it's fun for that reason.
Yeah.
What about like do you guys like the Ty West horror movies?
Oh, he did
House of the Devil and You're Next.
And The Innkeepers. No, he didn't do You're Next.
Oh, he's just in it, I think.
Yeah,
he has like a cameo.
You're Next is the dude who did The Guest.
Ty West.
I love Simon
Winberg or whatever. Yeah.
I
had a panic attack when I watched House of the Devil the first time. So that it just caused me to really. I think I also had anxiety going into it, and then just that slow build and the anticipation really freaked me out.
Yeah, like it's kind of like my opinion on it is mixed. Because like it's kind of cool that the trick is that you wait for a long time for one insane ending.
Right. Innkeepers is sort of like that too, where it's like not much happens you know, but that's kind of like a masterful thing in and of itself. You know what I mean?
Just, like letting your,
it's like, this is just a movie about people who work at a hotel. You're the one projecting a lot of craziness.
You're the one waiting for this thing to happen.
Did he do it in the more recent one he did was The Guest?
No, that's the other director. Simon Winberg or whatever his name is.
Didn't he do something more commercial recently?
Did he do The Sacrament? Or no, that was...
He's
Eli
gone
Roth.
Over into directing TV. He did an episode of The Exorcist and Outcast, which was that new Showtime.
Oh, right.
We watched the first episode and it was great.
The first episode of Outcast and it was awesome.
I love You're Next. I know we're jumping around to like 50
That's
different
fine.
Things.
Let's do it.
So Mono, I went in really hoping it would be like a Strangers-esque. And I wasn't able to drop that it was kind of goofy. Yeah,
right.
So I did not enjoy it.
I was the same. Exact same feeling.
Me too.
It was too winky to me.
Oh, see, to me, I
thought
it was just...
There were too many twists it didn't need.
It just was just shy of it. I liked the... it finally justified why the final girl is like becomes a final girl, like for the first time in one of these movies.
Yeah.
Because it's like, she's a survivalist. My dad taught me how to do all this stuff. Because it's always like the girl, the tiny girl wins somehow.
Yeah, right.
The music was fucking cool. And it was like kind of like that scene when fucking, who's the little indie filmmaker who gets fucking crossbowed in the head?
Oh, gosh. I
forget
remember.
His name.
Star Wars.
No. It's the dude who makes the mumblecore movies.
Oh,
I forget his name.
Oh,
whatever. It doesn't matter. He made Drinking Buddies. Joe Swanberg.
Joe
Swanberg is like the prick brother who gets a fucking crossbow in the chest or whatever. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, for me, the movie like it was trapped between camp and not camp.
Yeah,
like it was it was weird to me that the family was emotionally detached, but then it wasn't fun detached. Like,
right.
I don't know.
I didn't think it needed that twist. One thing for us that we the three of us agree on as horror fans is don't ride lines, because we just saw Happy Death Day.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same thing where it's like, go harder into comedy or go harder into horror. But when you just ride the middle, it doesn't work.
I felt that same way with Krampus as well.
Yes,
like
same thing.
Of just kind of like, oh, I... Bit like
decide.
I don't know, just decide, because you could still have a pure horror movie and it be funny, just with those real moments and whatever. But it felt like it was just trying too hard, but yet not enough to be both. Like trying hard to be funny and scary, but then not doing 50% each.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which is
tough. If you're a slave to two masters, you know if you're giving a 60% effort into two different things, it's not worth it.
Whereas like Get Out, which is I feel my favorite horror that has recently come out.
Yeah,
it was so good and very funny, but like I think because it was just so the funniest part.
Some of the scares were funny. Mm-hmm. Which is a very hard move to pull off.
Yeah.
Where you're genuinely afraid or startled by something, but also it's funny because of the situation.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, no one's going to sit here and tell you that Jordan Peele doesn't get comedy.
The
dude figured out comedy, but the surprising thing was like how truly scary that movie was, too.
It was so good.
So
and I cannot
good.
Relate to being black at all. So I no. I'm talking about how scary it was for Allison Williams.
Oh my god.
You had a completely different read of that movie.
No, I was like, Jesus Christ, what's happening with her, man? This must be stressful being home like that.
When like the sirens came at the end, you're like, oh, thank God. Thank God the cops are here to stop this man.
She's finally gonna make it. Lil Rel is so fucking good in that movie.
Oh yeah.
He's so what a great fucking role. I mean, everyone is really good in that movie. But Lil Rel's got like he's just on the phone funny, which is like dream.
Yeah.
He just gets to sit in a scene and shoot talking to a phone
and just
being
straight
funny.
Manning.
What I tell you about going hanging out with all those white people.
Betsy got the Blu-ray and we saw just all the alternates. Like at the end there's like seven alternates of a funny thing he says after the nightmare's over.
Yeah. And there's also an alternate ending completely. Yeah.
Which is it more bleak?
Where it is where the cops come. And he, like, you know, is covered in blood and, like, about to kill Allison Williams. And then the white
cops
come.
Jail.
And he goes to jail.
It's like a full cut to jail 6 months later. And he's like, it's okay. He says something basically, I at least stopped one more person, you know?
He's, like, resolved, like, with what's going on.
Yeah, that's bleak.
It was intense. We're like, I'm so glad the other ending happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
Oof.
What's, like, a recent or, like, what's the most scary thing you think you've seen in a movie? Or the thing that fucked you up the most?
You go.
No, you go.
No, you.
You were so much more excited.
I was really excited. Okay, we saw the Ouija sequel.
Ooh,
which was way better than the first. They had a thing.
Which was a prequel, right?
It's a prequel.
Yeah, Ouija.
The Happening.
Something.
It's great. It's not The Happening, but yes.
I think it's The Happening. Where a girl's eyes go blank white.
Ew.
And she's doing unintelligible whispers into, like, a sister's
it's
ear.
Disgusting.
That's terrifying.
That was an awesome. Semi new scare to me.
I'll say I got excited too. Was Paranormal 3, which is now pretty old, but like the oscillating fan.
Oh yes, when they put the camera on the fan,
and the
that's
ghost,
such a good device because you pan off of it and you're like, oh, there's nothing there.
It
and
was
then comes back.
I was losing my shit during that. Like, what a brilliant move! And then there's that sheet scare, which is one of the scariest things I've ever
seen. Isn't there a great sheet scare in The Conjuring too?
Yes,
where it like blows off the laundry line
and
freezes on a form.
Ooh, I just got chills.
That's a
Conjuring. I loved that movie. It scared the shit out of me.
The woman who plays the mom who's like
amazing.
Looking in the closet.
Vera
like,
Farmiga?
No.
Oh, yes.
She's amazing.
Lily
They're all good.
Taylor?
Yes. She's so good and she makes me so nervous the whole time as she's like searching the house.
Yes.
That movie was fucking good.
She's awesome.
I saw a very early screening of The Conjuring presented by Warner Brothers at Comic-Con, and before it started, Lily Taylor walked out and they were like, we have a special guest to announce it. Ladies and gentlemen, Lily Taylor. She ran out and she's like, hey, everybody. And a guy in the back very loudly goes, The Departed. And she doesn't know how to like react to that. So I watched her just stare for like 30 seconds. And then she goes, all right, well, today's movie is very fun. It's going to didn't even acknowledge it. The asshole screamed The Departed at her, thinking she was Vera.
That's insane.
Vera Farmiga and her huge collars in that movie.
She's such a queen.
Yeah,
huge.
She's awesome.
Talk about like sequels not being as good as the first. Oof. Paranormal Activity, ending with three, I would say, is an exception to the rule where every movie got better to me.
Yes.
I thought all the way to three being the best.
Oh, okay.
I would go
like
one,
that.
Two, three.
That's, me too.
That's very good.
Three, three, two, one.
Is three the one with Chris Smith? No.
Yes. Yeah. And he's so great.
I know. It's
and
so...
it is just that, like, they found such fun devices going back into time, in the 80s or whatever. Oh, it was so fun.
I love... like when I learn a new scare device. Like I just did Hollywood Horror Nights this weekend.
All right.
Yeah. It was so fun hitting the mazes. And then I started to realize like some of the things that they do. And I'm like, oh, this is seeing the scaffolding a little bit is fun. It's like, oh, in the Sinister house or the Insidious house, there was like two hallways where nothing happened, but it was like a little longer
Which
than you wanted
so
it to
good.
Be. And you're like, wait. And you know something's coming. And I told Betsy this earlier, my favorite horror house trope, which I've learned is a great scare, is four mannequins, one real person.
Yeah.
Or four, and like one person's froze. Like, I didn't realize how spooky a fucking something. Like, there was a dude whose like leg was in a bear trap. This won't sell on the audio, but he was literally, and he had an axe stuck in his head, and he was like a mannequin going like this.
Uh-huh.
And it was so spooky. And then when I walked by, he like stood up and lunged
Ew,
at me. And he was a dude moving just like a mannequin with a prop axe in his head and a prop bear trap on his leg. He just sold it hard.
Scarer's commitment is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And on all of these haunts. Like on
I
all
love
of
how
these...
much they care about it.
Oh, it's so
With the exception
awesome.
Of Six Flags Magic Mountain. Every scare in their maze is a teen in a hoodie with dirt on their face.
Yeah.
Like there's no one dressed to the theme of it.
Really?
It's horrible. A device I love in haunts is the floor kind of trigger that they have that they push.
Yeah.
And the lightning is really loud and like a light comes on or
yeah,
as
cool.
they run out.
That's,
I love
giving that's something
that
that's a little new.
Thing.
That's like a couple last couple years of they leap out with light, with strobe and a big sound effect.
Yeah. Well, and the wah.
Yeah, usually. That always works.
Disturbed always scares me.
It always works.
We all met.
Yeah, I met
doing
Adam and Betsy at Delusion.
Oh, yeah.
I had moved here like the Halloween week. Or whatever. We moved here like end of October.
Which Delusion was it? Was it in like the church at sunset?
No, it was the one before that, like that house.
That house. It was really fun.
So it's a Delusion is an immersive haunt, like a theater haunt experience.
Yeah.
And we met Gabrus doing that, which is a great way to meet somebody.
Is to see an adult man scream in terror.
Because we already were immediately like all just hugging each other.
Yeah, it was true. Yeah.
And that's,
different because like, you get to do shit. Like, they're like, get in bed and let grandma read stories to you.
Right.
Like,
Katie Dippold had to climb into the bed and pretend to be like an old man.
We were doing something completely different.
What I remember
different.
Was specifically was we had to hide on the landing. And then they were like, Katie, we need a volunteer to go into that room and get into the
bathroom
bed.
At the end of the
tunnel. Yeah. And when she walked down the hallway, unbeknownst to her, but all of us, we saw that person go behind her.
And like,
remember?
And
like walk up behind her, like in all black. And we were like, that's terrible.
They fell from the ceiling.
Oh yes!
Yeah. Insane.
They were like Mission Impossible harnessed to the ceiling.
Yeah,
and dropped
in. As if in a movie. When we all screamed, Katie, look out! The door slammed behind her.
Yes,
so we couldn't see her, and then someone dropped in front
chills.
Of us,
right.
And made us all scream. And they're like, "Run, run!"
Yeah,
and then we found her tucked in bed, getting like a story read to her.
Yes.
And Rogers and Tiffany had to go steal the key off the sleeping butcher's keychain to like unlock a door. It's like D&D meets Haunt. It's like the dream.
It is just like being a part of a horror movie. Just go do this. We need this to survive.
Yeah.
My favorite memory was when I got put on a gurney and they put a sheet over me and they were like, oh no, here he comes. play dead. Like, he's going to wheel you around because he's a maniac, but play dead on the gurney. Uh-huh. And I was getting wheeled around on a gurney.
And you had no idea where you were because there was a sheet over there?
I had no idea what the fuck I was.
They rolled him into an Arby's.
You're like, you want that chicken parmesan with pepperoni on it?
I got the meat.
We got the meat.
You are the meat. A guy has like a big cowboy hat on. Put your leg on the roast beef slicer.
No.
Hola, manos.
You need to host diversity panel.
You do. You do.
John Gabers presents diversity in horror.
I love one scare that we also just saw at the Haunted Hayride that I really worked for me. You saw, I jumped in your lap.
Wait, I think Gabers
spoiler,
is going,
I'm
don't
going
spoil.
On Friday.
Oh, shit.
So no big spoilers.
Okay, no big spoilers. Yeah. I'll just say there was basically a design that was established over a long time. And then, like, long into the maze, someone was disguised as that design.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, holy shit, the restraint on that.
That happened in one of the haunted houses. Like, you went to a room and it was like three of these big, like, tree looking like straw man figures, and then one of them stands up and is on like fucking stilts. And why are stilts so scary?
Stilts are horrifying
because they make you feel small.
Right.
And it's like, how often do we feel small?
Right.
Like,
yeah, if you're 6 foot two, you don't feel small.
Tall is so scary, man.
Yeah. Like, when they're just like in those scare zones walking around on stilts, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So that's why Slender Man is so scary.
Slender Man's terrifying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I like him.
Did you see
There's
the
good guys on all sides.
Yeah. Let's look at both sides of the story here.
Did you see the doc?
Yes.
That was, it's so fucked up.
That upset me. Yeah. I will say that documentary upset me a little bit. I'm like, holy shit, what if my kid is like a freak?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all I thought is like, what if my kid is detached from reality? And
that poor dad just being like, I wish she didn't have an iPod or an iPad or whatever. And then they cut to like his son playing on the iPad.
I
and he's
know.
Just like, I don't know what to do. It's like, take it away.
There's no more subtle burn than a documentarian. Like the editing on a documentary.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's someone saying something and then a smash cut to them looking like a hypocrite.
Right. It's like very Arrested Development VO.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
He was lying.
Yeah.
That is not true.
And her game that's like, is she crazy or not? Like her game that's like, I like cats.
Yeah.
Like that to me is a perfect, like in a scary movie thing of like, is it cute or terrifying?
Yeah, what is
the
what?
The fucking montage of shit she watches on YouTube.
Oh, horrifying. Yeah.
That shit's like the fucking Ludovico treatment.
from
Clockwork Orange.
It really is.
Yeah, it's like, of course, I watched that and I was like, I feel twisted. I feel like I don't know what's right and what's wrong now.
You know what's crazy is like you talk about like gore and if it affects you or not. And as a kid, I grew up watching fucked up horror movies, never fazed me. And then when I would have been in college when like Hostel 2 came out, I went and saw it in theaters. It was me and two other guys, just three guys all sweaty sitting in a theater watching Hostel 2. And there's the scene where that girl, from the second it started, there's a scene where the woman is suspended naked above the bathtub and a lady cuts her throat with a samurai sword and the blood pours down on her so she can take a blood bath. And yeah, the sound you're making is right. In that moment, I was like, I'm good. Like, I don't need to see this shit anymore, man. Yeah. Why am I watching a lady get her throat slit open all over someone else?
Yeah, it's
Come
hard.
On, man.
It's hard.
We watched the new Treehouse of Horror and got disgusted.
The Simpsons episode?
Yeah.
It was a bummer.
It was one where, can
the
I just commercials give it bad? Away?
Yeah.
Homer's like, starts cooking himself. So he starts like cutting pieces of himself off and cooking them.
Ugh.
And it was really fucking off-putting. Like it was not cute or funny or
there were no jokes.
No jokes.
It was a bummer.
We shouldn't. That was its own Pandora's box. I don't know why we're watching new Simpsons.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're asking for it.
Yeah, we are.
But it was just
you
like
deserve this.
That feeling of this is ugh.
I don't need this.
Yeah.
I don't need this in my
life. Gore kind of I've had like enough gore. Unless like I love like older gore that's like practical and like
practical.
An 80s movie gore, like Freddy and Jason gore. I love that shit. Yeah.
Love it.
An old cut-off head. That's...
Yeah, like a fucking mannequin torso with like a fucking blood geyser where the neck was.
Yeah.
Like, that's the shit I love. Yeah.
People getting folded up in beds.
Yeah.
That shit's funny.
Yeah.
Like, let's do that.
Final Destination, I think, was like the most gore I could do because it was like, and I think they for lack of, I know this goes against your belief system, but I thought they rode the line pretty well where they were like,
yeah,
this is kind of twisted, but how funny is it that this is happening to this
girl? Yeah, I agree. Like, the girl goes in the tanning bed
and like spills her big gulp. She's like sipping like a giant, like they're like so ahead the curve on basic bitches.
Yes.
They're like going into the tanning slot. She like falls in, it gets pinned on her. She spills soda on the controls. It goes up like full volume.
Yes, yes.
Cooks her in the fucking thing. It's so funny.
I think those movies are straight up comedies. Like even like the setup of like the Rube Goldberg-esque contraption that gets them all killed.
Yeah.
It's always exciting and funny.
Right. Yeah. It's like the pole slides through and then and
the
then they wake
one's
up.
One of the worst.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Pole deaths are great. Baby Driver had a great spoiler alert.
And then the gymnastics one in the fifth.
Yes.
Have you seen Final Destination 5?
Maybe remind me. I've all the deaths blend together. What's the gymnastics death?
It's this girl like doing
give it away.
Gymnastics. I won't at all. But you see all these little things like setting it up.
I've seen that. Like the screw starts going loose. Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen
you can also, listeners, you could just YouTube.
Yeah.
Final Destination gymnastics scene, and it's like probably 18 seconds long, and it's wild.
Yeah. I would go as far to say, without even doing any research, that there is a YouTube video that is all of the Final Destination deaths.
Yeah. Oh,
I guarantee there is. Sort of like when you watch just like a video of the Mortal Kombat fatalities.
Yeah.
Like I remember I just like did that recently, and I was like, oh, this is more fun than playing the game. Need to get the perfect picture for that blog post, the ultimate image for that Instagram meme. Want your tweet to go viral? Maybe it needs a stock picture. Well, I'll tell you what, Storyblocks is a great new service for all that. Look, it's subscription-based and unlimited downloads. So Storyblocks is the first and only stock media company offering unlimited free downloads of member library content. Woo! Then you get a marketplace where you can buy some extra stuff that isn't there, but the annual fee is only $150. You can join the member library and you have access to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pictures. Do yourself a favor and get yourself over to storyblocks.com/mighty to try it for 7 days. That's Storyblocks, storyblocks.com/mighty to download anything from the 400,000 images and unlock discounts on a million more. Storyblocks.com/mighty. You royalty free content for commercial and personal projects. New images are added regularly. Download all the stock your heart desires. Member library, 400,000 photos, vectors, textures, icons, whatever you may need, they will have it. Storyblocks.com/mighty.
What's your favorite final my favorite Final Destination like chain reaction is the road one in. Would that be two?
Yeah, I think
when
that's
two. When
they're
on the highway.
Yeah, on
and,
like the bridge.
The
logs?
The logs roll out. The pipe goes through.
They're on the bridge and like the wires.
That one's fucked up.
A noise of a wire breaking and going like.
Horrifying.
It's so scary.
It reminds me of like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Because it's like. Ding,
ding, ding, ding, it reminds me of Ghost Ship. Oh. The beginning of Ghost Ship when
when it
breaks and
that's
slides across the
one
bridge.
One of the best openings in a horror movie
It's so
ever.
Good.
I like the roller coaster from part three. The opening scare.
Viper
at Magic Mountain.
Yuck. Which is so scary. And I love how everyone in their movies deserve death. Like,
right. Yeah, you learn that they're all shitheads.
Yeah, that's a good walking the line, I think, of just like, oh, yeah, these people fucking suck.
Yeah,
it's so awesome to watch them die.
Because then it makes it so much easier. Like, in Jurassic World, when that poor babysitter
got
the worst death out of everyone.
Yeah, she's like dropped by a big dinosaur
just insane where it's like, oh, she did it. I still laughed, but it was like, she didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
Give it to that one shithead.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Do it to some Panda Express employee that worked at Jurassic World who deserved it.
The new It did that. First of all, I loved the new It.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, it's fun.
Oh, wow.
It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I won't give anything away, but they all the adults are bad.
Oh, that's really fun.
Like, it's just, the world, in this world, all adults are bad or don't give a shit.
Oh, that's
which
funny.
Is part of it, of like, the town is pretty much cursed. So, all the adults are just fucking assholes.
That's awesome.
It's great.
That's such a good fucking book.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's so good. It's such really a good idea. And that the whole town is poisoned, like you said.
Yeah.
He keeps coming back every 25 years, 28 years.
27?
27 years. So that their parents were probably affected by it when they were kids and have ignored it or moved past it. Mm-hmm. It's such a great idea to have a town be haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a so full spooky. Town haunted. Yeah, that's really fun.
It's so spooky.
But not like a ghost town.
Right.
Do you want to talk more real horror?
Yeah.
Because what scared me more than Slender Man was Mommy Dead and Dearest.
Mm. Oh, boy. Is that
too real?
Me.
That's a little too real, but let's talk about it.
Oh my God. It scared me more than Slender Man, which is insane.
Big time.
Yeah, Slender Man was terrifying.
But that's like a real horror thing too. Like deranged parent. Ruins your life.
But I mean, it goes over to horror because you could argue, like in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the Hewitt family is fucked up.
Right. They like it's did like they that to Leatherface, more or less. She did that to her daughter by.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so fucked up.
Did anyone watch The Sinner?
No.
Is that the new Jessica Biel show?
Yeah, I watched it. It's kind of fucking twisted and there's a lot of fucked up. Like,
you were just trying to get some of that Biel butt.
No Biel butt.
Beelzebut. What the heck?
Beelzebut.
It's kind of fucking weird and gross, and there's like some weird sex stuff in it, and it's like,
whoa.
But it's really kind of enjoyable. I highly recommend
it.
I think you two in particular would really.
Okay.
I think you'll like it, but you two, because it's kind of cheesy and sort of sexy, but also disgusting.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
We have an insatiable appetite for shit trash.
Oh, God. Boy Next Door.
Yes.
Not really a horror movie, but it's sexy and bad.
Yeah.
Is that the J-Lo?
It's so good.
That's the J-Lo movie?
Yes.
It's like garage door openers play a huge part.
Yes. A huge plot point.
Was it? We were watching a horror movie at your house a couple days ago, the three of us, Betsy, Rockula. The rock and roll Dracula movie.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it was a horror movie.
It was probably just a comedy.
Yeah.
But you had one of my favorite quotes, which was, "This is awful and I love garbage."
Yeah, it's pretty bad when I say something very bad because I love trash.
Yeah. We also watched one called The Uninvited about a demon that lives inside of a cat.
Yeah.
That then gets on a yacht.
And these mobsters own the yacht.
Yes.
So it's like these teens who are in their 30s, some mobsters, a rich white guy, and a cat with a demon in it. And
that's
it was
so fucking weird.
Wonderful.
Speaking of, you guys said Uninvited made me think of this. I think one of the best endings to a recent horror movie ever is Invitation.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Loved Invitation.
Great fucking ending. Great
that
movie.
Was-
Top to bottom.
I know.
Such a good
Such
movie.
Such a cool.
Do you think we liked it so much because we live in LA, though? Because it really hits that LA vibe of like, you would let these weirdos talk about their weird shit for so long because it's like, it's very LA to be like new agey and culty or whatever.
I loved it, man. It felt like, I mean, it has that like Rosemary's Baby-esque like slow burn of just watching like crazy people interact with each other where you're like, what is the payoff?
Right.
Yeah.
What is going to happen? And then
the
they deliver.
More than you could ever
imagine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where you're like, I think it's a cult. And then, and then you're just like, oh, fuck, dude. Okay.
So crazy.
It's so, and the acting's so good and like huge at sometimes, but it earned like but I don't know, it's really
they must have shot that in like 2 weeks in a fucking house in like Silver Lake too. Awesome,
just one location, which is the way to make acted, horror movies
acted it. I mean, it felt like they must have rehearsed it like a play.
Yes.
The way every scene plays out is in its own room and its own
and like entrances and exits and stuff like that. It is written like a play.
Ooh, I want to watch that.
I want to rewatch
it.
It
could be done as a play.
Yeah,
like you could do
it
that.
Totally
on stage.
Could.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That
and
would
to
be
me,
so rad.
Let's adapt Uninvited for. Let's adapt The Invitation for Broadway.
Yes, let's do it.
I've got an invitation.
Isn't Freddy weird? You think there's something wrong with Freddy?
Oh my God! Just a song about that woman's white dress.
Yeah.
That like immediately is like she's fucked up just because of what she was wearing.
Anyone wears a white dress, they've lost their mind.
Yeah, right? You hear
only
that,
one
all you
day
brides.
You're allowed to wear one.
Yeah, yeah.
There's literally only one day to wear a white dress.
Yeah, Labor Day. You're done. Yeah.
What'd you say?
Labor Day.
Independence Day. Today is your... Oh, funny, I should say that. Fucking... that's Pullman, right, in Independence Day?
Yes.
Pullman's in Sinner and has like a weird fetish and it's like upsetting to watch.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Beach?
The Beach?
The Witch.
Oh, The Vitch. Yes.
I thought you said The Beach, Vivitch. Too.
Yeah. The Beach.
Did you watch The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio? Yeah.
I love that movie.
I love the soundtrack to that movie.
That movie is so good.
Yeah.
You know what the best song on that soundtrack is?
What?
Ooh, he's disturbed. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Adam's dead.
A tarantula just came out of Adam's mouth.
Ew.
No, he's fun. Here you go, Mono.
Oh, yeah. He's drumming. He is pretty fun.
He's drumming with Adolf. He's playing the intro to Hot for Teacher.
Oh, yeah. The Witch.
Did you watch The Witch?
Yes. I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Good call. That might be the most recent horror movie that really bothered me.
Oh, yeah.
Was the scene when the little boy is like losing his mind. He's in bed with his shirt off. And he's like,
yuck.
Father, they're here. And he's like doing a weird like twist. It was very terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that movie was in an interesting category for me of fantastic job. I might never want to watch it again.
Yeah. Yeah, because it didn't pay off as great like as you were hoping for it to. But it was cool. Like, the payoff, I guess this is not too much of a spoiler, the payoff is like, oh, they were right.
The devil's real.
Yeah. Like, and I did like where they were just like...
Yeah, bad news. The devil is the goat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she's just like, yeah, okay, they seem more fun.
I mean, <We'll> go- yeah. When your movie starts with a baby being mushed up into paste, it's like, ooh, like you start sick, and then it just lingers.
I know, and it it's slow, too. It's like,
slow, and just, it felt like... very real for that time.
Yeah, it
like
felt,
which made me just
It felt a little bit like they were like it's based on an ancient text that was found or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it feels a little bit like this is a true story that spread throughout. Like, people talked about, and then they made that movie.
That place is so fucking boring. I would have sold my soul too.
Yeah, well, yeah,
it was horrible.
That's the other horror too. They're all gonna die at 31, right, so you're already scared for them.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're just living in the middle of the woods because they were too religious.
They were too religious.
They were Puritans who were too religious.
That's fucked up. Than anything else.
That's the scariest thing.
That's why, like, that those like religious zealot shit scares me more than anything.
Very
for
scary.
Some reason.
That's how the devil worked with that. Too.
Yeah, yeah.
Justifying, I mean, drowning your babies because
God
said to or whatever is so scary.
Yeah,
to
I know.
Me.
And
you justify it to yourself. Where you're like, well, I'm doing the right thing because of my faith.
Yeah.
This all makes sense.
And you're
persecute
like,
me all you want. Put me
where
in jail.
Where are
I'm
you
right.
actually getting that information from? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's
so scary.
Like, what is that really? Is your faith fabricated in your mind to so you can feel okay doing this shit?
Oh,
like,
God.
I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
I hate that
Find
stuff.
Find out more this season on Sinner. Sorry, Jessica Biel.
Check it out. Highly recommended. Hardly has anything to do with horror, but it's just got enough creepy shit to go on.
Okay, enough creepy,
Beale
sexy.
Butt.
No Beale butts.
Beale
no
butt.
Mono, you're not going to see Beale butt, okay?
But the good-looking dude from Girls who plays Allison Williams' old boyfriend, who kind of looks like a Tanner Jon Snow.
Oh, my God. He's in that movie I did not like, They Come at Night.
Oh, I didn't see this one.
Oh, yeah.
It Happens at Night.
I didn't like that. It
I did not like it. It comes at night.
Remember
the
like
movie
in the
you
woods?
Yeah, you got,
I hated it.
You screamed in the theater about how much you hated it.
Yeah.
It's the new movie with Joel Edgerton.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they're all in a house like in the woods and there's a
Joel
virus
Edgerton
outside.
From The Warrior.
From Warrior, yeah.
Yeah, from
great
Warrior.
Movie.
It's
great
love that movie.
It's so fantastic.
I watched that the night before a powerlifting meet at a hotel in Pennsylvania by myself and was hysterical crying, like taking ZMA and creatine. Like,
my ZMA.
I think I cried like 4 times in that movie.
Gary Busey, holy shit.
It's
or
a
Nick
wild
Nolte,
movie.
Whichever one it is.
Yeah.
I always get that mixed up all the time.
CMA, I've never even heard of, but it must
I think
be
it's
real.
It comes at night.
It comes at night. It really pissed me off because it's one of those scary movies that hinges on what do you think happened?
Oh,
it was like, no, you tell us what happened.
Yeah, where they're like, what? Isn't that fucked up? And you're like, I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
What is this?
It is very clearly like the case of the auteur being like, I wrote a movie. What is it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, lazy asshole. Yeah, just fucking tell me, man.
Like, watch the invitation and see how to have it pay off.
Yes.
Did you guys like It Follows?
Love it.
Yeah.
I saw it twice in theaters.
I love a good soundtrack, cool scenes.
Yeah.
The device led to some fun shit to see. Yeah. Like, the beach scene is really cool.
There may be a handful of movies this is true for in my lifetime. It Follows is one of them where the only thing I knew was what the poster looked like.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know if it was a comedy or a horror, like straight horror.
Yeah.
And then when it started and he wheels her in that wheelchair and he goes, it's here. And you see like the naked woman walk up to the front. I went, what the fuck is this movie?
Yeah.
Like, what is this going to be? And then the camera on her wheelchair as he turns her and pushes her towards it.
Yeah.
You're like, what is it?
It's so awesome.
And him apologizing.
I want to start I'm addicted to trailers. I love watching trailers. God bless you, or is that coughing?
Sorry. Mono's coughing. Dying.
That's fine. I'm dying too. Dude. We're all dying. Mono just has at various speeds.
Mono's a cat with a little demon in him.
Yeah, I got a big cat.
He keeps coughing hairballs in the shape of 666. Oh, fuck. That made me think of The Omen. The Omen is great.
It's
dude.
All for you.
We just went inside at Arclight on the big screen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's awesome. All for you, Damien.
Oh.
This is all for you. Hunk. Through the window. So
fucked
awesome.
Up. So fucked up.
God, I wish but I had like played him.
I like trying to not watch any trailers.
That's my new thing is I'm going to try. Like, I think I've said this on a few podcasts before, but can we wouldn't it be so badass if everyone's going to go see Star Wars?
Yeah.
Right.
What if you just dropped it? No trailers. Just like 1 year from now.
That would be
the Han Solo
movie.
People
will go no matter what.
Yeah.
Because I love that.
Like Beyonce style. Just drop it like no announcement.
Trailers are weird, man. They used to give you the whole movie. Like it would show you like beginning, middle, and end and be like, here's what happens. Go see it. And then we got to a period, and I want to say it was like late 90s, early 2000s. Like the Matrix's first trailer tells you nothing. It's just like, here's a world.
Right.
Will you come?
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, of course. And now they're getting back to showing too much again.
Yeah, they're showing it. It's way more. I remember, you're talking about 80s trailer. Like, I remember very specifically the Over the Top trailer because it was, I had a VHS of the 1986 Super Bowl with Giants Broncos, and it featured the trailer for Over the Top, and I would always watch it because watching old commercials is great.
Yeah, I love it.
It is very
fun. It's really like, a father must earn the trust, and the narrator is literally explaining the entire plot, and now the movies are like, here's the 12 coolest things you'll see from it. Uh-huh. But then some of them you're like, fuck, I wish I...
Yes.
What's the most recent Shane Black movie I really like? Nice Guys. I really like Nice Guys.
Oh, yeah.
But a couple of really funny moments were in the trailer that I kind of wish weren't.
Yes.
Comedies can be boned by a trailer so
easily. Yeah, where it is and I feel horror too of that the best laughs and the best scares are shown in the trailer so that you're just like, oh, you just...
It's so easy to determine the context because if you remember the trailer, you're like, he had this jacket on in that sequence. This is going to end this way because I saw the 10-second coda already.
Or if there's someone in the trailer and that you only ever see them in one scene, you're like, well, they're dead.
Yeah.
It's they're dead immediately because you're not in the rest of it. I have a new rule where I don't watch trailers at home. I'll only see them in the theater.
That's the move.
I don't even want to watch them in theaters. But if
I
you
don't
go
want
watch...
to, but then it's a matter of you're there. You could get up and leave, but at least you're seeing it in a cinematic way. So the first time I see it is presented in a theater.
Right,
it
I
helps
think that's
a little.
I like when Conjuring did a cool thing where they just showed a scene of the movie.
Which
worked weirdly
that fucking
great.
Clapping game
scene.
Oh my God, then they hear one more clap.
Yes. God, that made me scream in the trailer. I fucking lost my mind.
So good. Play one scene so at least, we all know that one scene. If I was a director, man, I honestly would want to shoot a trailer that wasn't in the movie. Where it's like, here's kind of the prequel to my movie is this trailer.
Here's the information you need to know.
This is the information you need to know going into it, and then go see it. Yeah. You'll discover what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you kind of want to just know the log line. That's all I care
about. That's all I need to know.
Exactly.
Because or if I'm going to see a movie, I'm going to see the Star Wars movie anyway. I'm going to see the new Thor anyway. I don't care. But for a movie I don't know anything about, the log line should be enough. Or the pedigree of directors, actors, or writers, or whatever. But Gerald's Game. I saw that trailer and I was like, this gave away so much. But if you just told me It's a movie about a woman who gets handcuffed by her boyfriend and or her lover, and then her lover dies in the room. I'm like,
brilliant.
That's a brilliant fucking idea.
Yeah.
But then when you watch a trailer, it gives away like a whole storytelling conceit, and you're like, I would never have guessed that was going to happen. It would have been so cool when I first saw it.
Now I know it's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's
so
such a
annoying.
Bummer.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
It's the worst.
Man, the less the better, especially with horror, because
it's
all about surprise. I mean, that's what horror like hinges on. And it's like, just do stuff like the poster for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's like in 1970, whatever, five friends going to whatever. None survived.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Holy shit.
What happened? That's fucking terrifying.
Spoiler alert, but I'm excited to see how they all meet their end.
Yeah.
It's also weird when like you see too much of the monster is always a bummer for horror.
Which is why I think the third acts in a lot of these movies fail is because they've been relying so long on like you not knowing exactly what's going on. And then the second they have to explain themselves a little too, like the second you see the Babadook for a little too long, you're like, oh, it's not scary. This is like not a horror movie necessarily, but it suffers from the same thing. The movie Sinner. Signs, which I love.
Oh, yeah. And
I go back to Sinner every time.
Yeah.
This episode has been brought to you by Sinner. That would be so weird. They're advertising on my podcast like 6 months after the mini series finished airing.
That's so funny.
But like Signs suffered from that. Like, it's so scary. It's so scary. Ooh, the alien is like caught on a home video. And then when you full on see it standing in the living room, you're like, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah. It kind of made me laugh. I'm just now I'm not scared.
Old goofy guy.
Insidious suffers from that.
Oh, dude.
Insidious.
Is that the third act? Is like all the Darth Maul guy in
that
movie was the first.
One?
The first 60 minutes of that movie,
so
I'm like,
scary.
This is a great, you see like the random face every once in a while.
So great.
And
so
it
scary.
Has that thing of like, I don't know why your son's sick, which is the scariest thing.
Right. And then when they like figure it out and he's got to go into the world and they start explaining it too much. What was it called?
The Further.
The Further.
It turned into like a bad sci-fi channel.
It looks like the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
It
where
does.
It's just like, we are the ghosts.
It's like shot in a warehouse with like
from the
fog and red light. Yeah, it's like it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Three little ghoulies get into a car with him and follow him home. There's when Final Destination was being developed, the executives that were watching it said, you can't just have death be just like a wind. You need to make a physical manifestation of death to appear throughout the movie. And the writers and director said, absolutely not. But they have like a toy made of it because they're like, we want to sell this toy of death. And they go, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to make death be
what did the
running
toy
around.
Look like?
It's like a Grim Reaper-y looking dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're like, we want him to physically fight death versus like just the concept of it has to get.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
You idiot.
Great note.
Isn't Candyman involved as like the death and like by like Final Destination 3 or something like that? He's like the harbinger of it.
Oh, is he?
Oh, shit.
In the first one, he's like Candyman, the coroner, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, holy shit,
Tony
I forgot
Todd?
That he...
Yeah. He also is in The Rock, which I recently did on Action Boys.
Oh, shit.
And he pulls a knife on Stanley Goodspeed and is like, I'm going to cut you up.
Does it hold up? Is that movie still great?
That movie is still absolutely fucking great. Watch it again. Fucking Candyman's the one who's like, when Stanley, Nick Cage is like, are you familiar with Elton John's Rocket Man? And he's like, I don't listen to no soft shit. He's like, too bad. You are Rocket Man. And pushes the button and the rocket hits him and takes him out the window.
God.
Yeah. Really good. The movie holds up. It's fucking great. It's Nick Cage's maybe one of his best performances. Fuck Leaving Las Vegas.
I think Nick Cage's best performance is Weatherman.
Oh, that's Tiffany's favorite movie.
I would say Raising Arizona.
It's a really good movie.
I'd say the remake of Wicker Man.
Yeah, that's a good one. Honestly, the Port of Call New Orleans, he's fucking awesome in too.
He's very funny in that.
Trapped in Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
With John Lovitz and Dana Carvey as his brother.
Yes.
We got a lot of good ones in there. You were right. I'd back off on The Rock. He's also great as Cameron Poe in Con Air.
Yeah.
Put down the teddy bear.
Yes.
Put down that teddy bear. He's like doing like a southern accent.
Raising Arizona is one of my top three comedies of all time.
Ooh.
I love it. Whoa. I think it's beautiful.
Shit, man.
It's a perfect film.
Do you guys, I know you guys probably have to do shit like this all the time, but do you have like off the top of your head a couple of horror movie recommendations we should hit the High and Mighty
absolutely.
Listeners with?
Absolutely.
And maybe for myself. So like maybe if each one of you has a couple of favorites or a specific genre favorite
okay.
or something
here's
like that.
Here's one that I love and I'm sure some people have heard about it and some may not. The Descent.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's Tiffany's favorite horror movie.
Oh, it's right. So awesome.
It's so good. We're going to rewatch it this season when she gets back.
So I would recommend The Descent. It's so fucking cool.
Yeah, if you haven't, because that's a little older that maybe young people might not have caught it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like an all-female horror movie, which
is
awesome.
Yeah, it's so rad.
And they're badass chicks, like all of them. It makes it so much cooler, yeah.
Yeah.
There's one that didn't get enough attention, I thought. Was it called, what was the one about the deaf woman called?
Oh my Hush.
Hush.
Oh shit, that's
Hush
on Netflix.
Yeah, Hush I loved.
That looks spooky as hell. That looks spooky
It's really great.
And they've used that device in a really clever way, though she can't hear.
Yeah, and someone's in her house, right? Yeah,
right behind her.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's great, like a Wait Until Dark, but really awesome.
Yeah.
We have a couple newer ones. I'll go with an old one. Betsy and I just rewatched this recently. The original Black Christmas, Bob Clark's Black Christmas.
I haven't seen this.
It's great. The cast is fantastic. It's a great ensemble. It's from the 70s. It's got Margot Kidder. Olivia Hussey.
This one old lady who I want to become.
It's a Betsy character.
She's like awesome. But she like hides liquor in everything. She's such a funny character.
I can't wait to become that.
So you want to become her?
Yeah. Want to.
Runaway track.
Want to. Clink, clink, clink. Oh, no.
But it is like, it's very funny. But also there are so many scenes that are just so legitimately well acted. And it's just creepy in general. The story is very scary.
Yeah.
Give you a log line. It's a sorority house, but not like played in like a cartoonish way, except for that one woman. A killer is inside their house. And that's like the whole movie. It takes place over a night.
Holy shit.
It's really
awesome.
Good.
That's cool. Black Christmas. I will check.
Black Xmas, the new version.
Yuck.
Watch the original Black Christmas, directed by Bob Clark.
Ooh.
I'll throw out one that you guys, I'm sure you have seen, but maybe the listeners haven't. Dream Warriors. Of all the Freddy movies.
Love Dream Warriors.
Yeah, that's a fucking, it's D&D. It's like, you know, like it's X-Men meets D&D. Like the kids get powers. It's like a fucking lifelong dream.
It's
so fun.
It's got a fucking rad opening song.
We were talking about this recently at Hollywood Horror Nights because Titans of Terror is one theme and it's Freddy, Jason, and Michael. And it's like, Halloween is probably the best of all those movies.
Yes.
But Freddy is way cooler than Jason.
As a person.
As like a fucking, like, as a
as
person.
A
better person. I just think the Freddy movies are better. Nightmare on Elm Street are better than Friday the 13th.
That's a tough call.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have to think about it. Freddy's more funny by a long
this
shot.
This is where it starts to get into like horror genre.
Right, because they are different horror.
Yeah, it's fantasy horror versus
slasher.
Just slasher, straight slasher.
You're right, there are like, there's stinkers in both franchises.
Oh yeah, they each are batting like 500.
I would say that Friday the 13th's lows are lower than Nightmares.
Yeah, and I think that's all because of the actor who played Freddy, whose name is
Robert Englund.
Robert Englund, like he's so good. He gets to do more than Jason, obviously.
For your listeners, we just interviewed Derek Mears, who played Jason Voorhees in the latest Friday the 13th.
Oh shit, that giant
on our
ball
last
dude.
Episode. Yeah,
yes.
I've seen him.
He tells wonderful Friday the 13th stories.
Yeah,
you'd love this, Gabrus. He was talking about how their approach to playing Jason in this new movie depicting him was not as a crazy like psychopath, but as a survivalist who was wronged. So it's him getting people out of his home. So all his kills are very practical and like invented himself.
Oh, like he's not like, I have an axe, I'm going to go kill people. He's like, this is what's right here. These people are in my camp or whatever.
So traps, he has traps in it. Bow and arrow.
Oh, that's cool.
It's awesome.
Kind of going back to 2 a little bit with that.
That's what they said. It's a combination of 1, 2, and 3, he said.
Oh, all right.
Is what that reboot was.
Before he was a force of nature one could kill.
Right. Well, that's kind of what happened with Mike Myers, too.
There's literally... Yeah.
Oh God!
Bless you.
Oh God!
Oh my God! Read his hairballs. 666.
Oh my God!
It says, "Watch
me, Huckleberry."
Doc.
That's what you're saying.
Jason Mayer, it's one of three.
And then Halloween.
Oh, and literally there's a line in the Halloween series where I think Donald Pleasance goes, he's become a force of nature.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. All right, yeah. Then there are no stakes.
Because right, one and two are so rad where he's just a crazy dude.
Yeah, and then Season of the Witch is a little different for you guys. I love that movie.
I love like Season of the Witch.
It's like the dividing line in horror fans, and we're on the pro side.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I love it.
It's more fun than it is scary. Yes. But it's like
happy Halloween.
Oh,
Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween. Yes, I love it. Hey, that suit,
bugs
too.
Are
I wonder,
gross.
Nitpicky just ideas, like, like the campers are kind of a more fun aspect of the Friday the 13th.
Right.
But maybe Freddy is... Like, Freddy is
more
fun
than
as a
Jason.
Killer
than
some of his kills.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm
torn.
This is the true Freddy versus Jason.
Yes.
Wait, let me come on horny for horror and let's debate Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. Done.
Let's bring up pros and cons.
That
and
would
have
be
a discussion
perfect,
about
yeah.
It.
What we need to do is find, we'll figure out who you're more passionate about, get who the other person's more passionate about.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
you guys can be like the tribunal.
Yeah.
Because
we are fair and balanced.
Yeah. You have to be prepared to answer for Kelly Rowland.
Oh,
I guess
shit.
She was in both a Freddy and a Jason, technically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And Destiny's
Child. we'll have Freddy versus Jason versus Destiny's Child.
I think we know who's going to win.
When I saw Freddy versus Jason in theaters, a row of black women sat directly in front of me, and the whole movie Freddy's saying his shit, murdering teens left and right, and it gets to the part where he's confronting Kelly Rowland and he goes, "Oh, dark meat." Mm-hmm. And the lady in front of me goes, "Motherfucker." It's like she was so offended by that one line in this murderer's movie.
Crazy.
It is pretty nuts.
It's uncomfortable.
It's like, oh, wait, isn't this character a pedophile? And this is making me more uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, God.
This is somehow worse.
So where can people find Horny for Horror? It's Horny for Horror on Twitter.
At Horny4Horror on Twitter, Instagram, same thing.
Yeah, and more specifically, subscribe to the podcast.
Please.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Subscribe.
How many episodes you guys have now out? Like 10?
We just released 12. 13 will be out this week.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Get behind that. What days does that podcast come out?
Fridays.
Comes out every Friday at midnight.
Oh, spooky.
12 a.m.
So Saturday morning.
Thursday night, Friday morning.
There we go.
The witching hour.
Yeah.
The witching hour.
Yes.
And where are you guys at on Twitter if people want to tweet at us movie recommendations?
Yeah.
Please, or what we said wrong.
Yeah. At Birdie So Dirty.
At Mono Agapian.
At Adam S. McCabe.
Yeah. Wonder which one people will remember. And be able to type from memory.
Adam S. McCabe. None of them.
Birdie So Dirty? Don't even bother trying to tweet at Betsy.
I've been trying to get better at it. I've been pushing that heart.
I'm learning.
I've been clicking that heart a little bit.
Go, girl. You've been doing well.
Click the heart,
I've
baby.
I've been clicking that heart.
Click that heart. Click it before you tick it.
Yeah.
So check out Horny for Horror. Check out my other podcast, Action Boys, on Patreon.
Yeah.
Rate me 5 stars. Roast me in the comments. Otherwise, goodbye, shitheads.
Bye, shitheads.
Bye, you shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.